Chapter number 56. The passage of Scripture should be familiar to you. That's the passage your pastor used a couple months ago on the barking dog. Amen. Brother Fred Morris is in charge of the conference where I preached at in Tennessee, and he called me 2 days after Brother Hyatt preached on the barking dog. And he said, I want you to preach to the conference, and I want you to preach on the home, and I'll give you free rein as to what and what, where you take it from and what you preach. That's a dangerous thing to do with a Baptist preacher, but he did it. Amen. And the Lord led me to this passage, and I said, Lord, that's got nothing whatsoever to do with the home. But the Holy Ghost said, oh, yes, it has.
Yeah.
Because a father in the home is the same as a pastor in the church.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And the more I began to study it, the more I saw the likenesses and the similarities there was between the church and the home.
Right.
And between the dad in the home and between that in the pastor in the church. Amen.
Yeah.
So from Isaiah chapter number 56, verse number 9. If you have that and want to stand in honor of the Word of God, I want to preach tonight after I read the scripture on the Holocaust in the home.
Yeah.
The Holocaust in the home. Verse number 9, it reads like this, all ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Then verse number 12, come ye, say they. Now those words are important, and don't forget those words. I'll get back to them in a little bit. Come ye, say they. And then it changes. He says, I will fetch wine. And then it changes again. And we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. And you can be seated. I appreciate you standing.
Yes, yes.
I used to preach a lot on what's coming, but I've changed my mind. No use to preach on what's coming anymore. It's already here.
Right.
There's no use to go to your door and look for something coming anymore. Something wicked, because it's already here. Amen. We need to recognize that. And if anybody ever needed to recognize that, it's the fathers in the home. Amen. I'll get to the passage in just a little bit. By way of introduction, I want to introduce a wheel to you and show you just exactly what the home is all about. And I'm talking about an old-time wagon wheel that had a hub and had spokes and had a steel rim to it. Amen. Many of you can remember those in your life. I can. Some of you can. Some of you can't. But there's three parts to that wheel. Number one, there's a hub. That hub represents the children in the home. The spokes represent the mother in the home. And the rim represents the father in the home. Amen.
Yeah.
Now that hub, if you look at it right, it's got to be greased. Or it won't work. It'll lock up. Amen.
Amen.
Now, your children, friend, mothers and dads, I want to tell you, you need to grease your children real good with the Word of God, with the King James Bible, because you can't keep them out of the world. They're going to go into the world. But if you grease them down real good, that old slimy wolf cannot get a hold of them, because they've been greased down with the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Well, another thing about that hub is that it's got a lock washer. That lock washer keeps the dirt out of the hub. Amen. Dirt will lock your home up. Dirt will lock your youngins up. Amen. And that's what it's like. Then it's got a lock nut, amen, that keeps it in place. And that is your love and your countenance and your life in front of your children. Amen. It's no use to bring your children to the house of God if you went bar hopping on Saturday night. Amen. Because they're going to see what you are.
Right, right.
Amen. So that's the hub. But then comes the spokes. Now the spokes represents the mother in the home. Now watch this. There's only one hub and one rim, but there's multiple spokes.
Yeah, right.
And that represents the multiple tasks, the multiple jobs She simply says the reason your dad said you cannot do that is because he loves you. Amen. She puts heart in the home. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. If too many spokes are missing, the wheel collapses.
That's good.
You get by with one. But I want to tell you something, Mom. If you get out of the home and you get all kinds of side interests and you start ignoring and vacating your job in the home, your home will collapse. Amen. Well, then there comes the rim. And the rim's made of the hardest metal. And the rim's the only thing that meets the road. And the rim's the one that takes the beating. And the rim's the one that takes the punishment. Amen. And unless the rim meets the road, the wheel won't turn.
Right. Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Right.
Amen. So the rim represents the dad in the home. He's the head of the home. He's not the dictator of the home. He's not the governor of the home. He's the head of the home. Amen. But it takes a hub, it takes a heart, and it takes a head to have a home. I won't say tonight, God's not got the best plan for the home. God Almighty's got the only plan for the home. You're not going to get another plan. I mean, in 6,000 years, man has never devised one plan that even took the hem of the garment of what God said for us. But I want to say something else to you. If you think that Satan can't turn up your home, and a lot of people think they can't. A lot of people think they're above it. I know some preachers that think they're above their home being torn up. Only by the grace of God does it not happen to me or happen to you. But don't you ever think it can't happen. And I'll tell you why. Because if Satan could tear up the perfect home in paradise where there was no sin, where they knew no wrong, he tore it up and he'd tear yours up.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. So, that's by the way of it. I just wanted to let you know, if you want to be a wheel in your home, then be a wheel that God wants.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
The Holocaust in the home. I want to start tonight by saying 20 years ago, none of us that were alive would have ever imagined we'd be seeing what we're seeing today. Might as well say amen. And we wouldn't have imagined it. You couldn't have proved it. You couldn't have convinced us 20 years ago that we'd see what we're seeing today. Now I want to say something to you tonight. It's not coming anymore. It's here. Used to be the wolf had to knock or had to come and sneak in the house through the back door. Not anymore. They've got the porch light on for it. They've got milk and cookies on the table. They've got a big welcome sign out there and a big neon flashing sign. And the door's unlocked. And he's coming in the front door. He's here, friend. Wake up, Father. Wake up, Daddy. He's here and he wants your youngins. Amen. Look at verse number 9.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 9. It says, all you beasts of the field. I want to say that's not your little pet poodle. That's not your little canine companion. That's not your little Boston Terrier like I've got. Amen. It said beast of the field. Notice the word devour. Now I'm going to say something to you. A dog is a meat-eating animal, but he's not a flesh-eating animal.
Yeah.
But a wolf is carnivorous. And carnivorous means he feeds on the flesh. And that verse says that the beast in the forest and the beast in the field are coming out to devour. They want to eat your children. Are you listening to me? Amen.
Yes, sir.
So the verse is telling us that the wolf is on the loose. And the wolf, I'm going to show you different kinds of wolves in a minute. But they're all aimed at home.
Right.
So goes the home, so goes the church, so goes the church, so goes the nation.
Yeah.
You cannot blame Washington, D.C. on Washington, D.C. You blame it on the church. And you can't blame the church on the church. You blame it on the home.
Amen.
And we need to quit ragging these teenagers that's coming up today.
Right.
It ain't them that's doing it.
Right.
It ain't their fault.
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
I found out the last church I pastored that those young ones would adapt to old time singing and old time preaching.
Right.
And love it.
Right.
If mama and daddy would.
Right.
Yeah. Amen, preacher.
Sure.
So I want to say something about fathers. Fathers today are simply either AWOL, AWOL, or they've been dishonorably discharged from the service. Amen.
Right.
Fathers are just standing by and watch it all happen. Amen. I want to say something about Facebook. I don't have anything on Facebook, but I want to say this. It's called Facebook. It ain't called Body Book. Amen, preacher. And any father in this country that would allow his daughter to get on Facebook and put half-naked pictures of her on there with all her personal information right out there for every pervert and ungodly thing in this world to come, it's like saying, come and get it.
Right.
That's an idiot.
Right.
Amen, preacher. The front lines of the home and the foundation of home are being knocked down and being just trembling beneath us, and we're standing around saying, oh, it'll get better tomorrow. No, it ain't going to get no better tomorrow. It ain't going to get as good as it was yesterday. I'm telling you, it's getting worse every day. The wolf is in our home, and the wolf is coming to devour.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
So there's a massive frontal assault. Verse number 9. Now, I want to say this to you. In the military, a frontal assault is when the enemy is not hiding. The enemy is not catching you by surprise. The enemy is not attacking just before dawn. But the enemy is right there. They show you who they are, but you ain't going to stop them. They're coming at you. That's a frontal assault. And that's how bold the wolf has got today. That's how bold the media's got today. That's how bold Hellwood's got today. Amen, preacher. I mean, they don't care anymore. They don't ask you your opinion anymore. The schools don't ask you your opinion anymore. They'll say, I'll do with your youngins the way I want to. It's time that we put back our rights as children of God.
Amen.
So, how is that frontal assault working? Number one, it's working through the medium of sight. If you can conceive of it, if you, your ears have ever heard of it, if you just allow your mind to travel right now to the lowest depths of depravity, to the slimiest pits of hell, to the lowest point of degradation, to the most perverted and ungodly act of sex you can ever think of, then I'm going to tell you that somewhere in this country, on the media, it's been aired and watched publicly.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you what's in America today. It would make the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah blush.
That's right.
They may have been homosexuals, but they weren't getting married. Amen.
Right.
So the media in this country, by sight, so we discount it. That TV's been in our home so long, they don't even phase us no more.
That's right.
When they cuss on a program, they don't even faze us no more. When they show a queer on a program, don't even faze us no more. Did you know that is exactly what Hellwood wants, is for you to get where it don't bother you anymore.
Right.
The media glorifies a man whose first action as president of this country was to enact a law that increased the murder of our babies.
Right.
What kind of testimony is it to these little babies
in
here? What kind of testimony, what kind of message are we sending to these children that we murdered 85 million of them? What kind of message is that? They're not dumb as we think they are. They see us out in church, but yet they look at this country and they say they're murdering some of us right now. What kind of signal and testimony is that? Amen.
Yes, sir.
The media wolf is knocking at your door, Dad.
Right. Yeah.
And he's changed his tactics.
That's Right.
He used to howl on at night.
Right.
Now he's howling 24 hours a day.
Right.
He ain't ashamed no more.
Right.
He's right out there in public.
Right.
He's right there on Main Street. Homosexuals ain't in the closet no more, friend. They're out there kissing each other and fondling each other on the streets of America. And it's coming in your home on that tube that you got sitting there. Hey, amen. Through the medium of sight, but through the medium of sexuality. Oh, my. I had a Facebook page and I deleted 200 people off of it in one click. Half of them are preachers.
Yeah.
The language. It's just so ungodly. I can't stand it anymore.
Right, preacher.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
That the words that we hear coming out of men of God, people of God, church people.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Sexuality. It don't mean nothing to us anymore. Morals.
Right.
Morals.
Right.
I mean morals. Nobody's got any morals anymore, hardly.
No, sir.
I mean anything goes.
Right.
And the churches are putting their sanctions on. Thank God this one don't. But most of them do. And, you know, they don't preach on it anymore. It's all right, amen. As long as their deacon is a husband of one wife.
Yeah.
And their preacher's a husband of one wife.
Yeah.
They don't care if they got 15 whores on the side.
Right.
Amen. As long as they're that way, hey, I'd rather not be that way and not have the others.
Amen.
Sexuality. Sex. Perversion.
Right.
It's raging through this country like a tornado.
Sure.
And it's sucking up everything that comes in.
Sure it is. Right.
It's coming at your house and your home and you at so many angles. And don't you sit there and be spiritual and act like it ain't affecting you. Sure it'll affect you. You live it, ain't you?
Right.
You see, we've let the thing go. We've stood around, not done anything about it. We've allowed it to take control. Say amen. And now it's got where we can't even move without hitting us. We can't move without sin. Say amen.
Right.
And our youngins are getting the brunt of every bit of it.
Right.
The medium of sexuality, the porn wolf.
Right.
Is running rampant.
Right. Right.
The perversion wolf is running rampant.
Yeah.
The sex wolf.
Right.
Is running rampant.
Right.
The homosexual wolf is running rampant.
Sure. Yeah.
They can't convince me that all those homosexuals was in a closet.
Right.
Right.
They come out of the closet. What closet big enough to hold all of them? I'm going to give you my opinion. Like it, not like it, agree with it, not, don't make no difference to me. But I'm going to tell you what I think. It has now become popular in America to be a homosexual. It's the in thing. It's the popular thing, like wearing a pair of Nike tennis shoes. Say amen, that's what we're looking at. I mean, hey, all these people wouldn't get come out of the closet. All these people wouldn't hide. It's simply that it's a popular thing to be a homosexual.
Right.
You tell me we're not going to lie.
Right.
No wonder our kids don't have a shot. Don't have a chance. Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
Through the medium of sight, through the medium of sexuality, through the medium of spirits.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Used to be baseball was a national pastime.
Uh-huh.
Been replaced by a thing called compromise.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, the neighbors have got this. Well, I guess we'll have to get one.
Right.
Well, that church down the road, they're doing this. Guess we'll have to do it.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
All right.
Amen. Your preacher preached and said one of the best things ever be said in this church a couple weeks ago when he said you're one pastor away from being in apostasy. Told the truth. I know that's not subject, but let me say it. Why? The church I pastored last was one pastor away. I'm gone, and they're in apostasy.
That's right.
They got rid of the King James Bible. They got rid of the name Baptist. They got in all the yard sales, hot dog sales, everything you can imagine. Say amen.
Amen.
And now, on top of all that, they've got a known lesbian as a member of the church. They were one pastor away from apostasy.
Right.
And so are you.
That's right.
Don't you think you're above it?
That's right.
I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yes, sir.
how in the days the pressure of all that out there is more than you can bear if you don't have a man of God that'll stand and get a hold of God and direct the church in a godly way. You'll be an apostle. Apostle is not the introduction of things new.
That's right.
It is the absence of things old.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. So compromise has replaced. Amen. The church and home now look like the world.
That's right. Yeah. Sure.
And most churches and most homes are proud they are.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got all the modern features. We got, amen, we got everything it takes to be modern. But you got everything to send souls to hell too when you like it.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right. 1955, Elvis Presley came out. I'm going to use this.
Oh,
hey. It worked.
Yes.
And preachers preached about it. Little Bobby, you remember. Some of you rest of you might remember preachers preached. You listen to Elvis, you're going to hell. Well, that won't send you to hell. But they did preach that. If those same preachers was alive today and sitting right there, every one of them would say, would you children, please, please, listen to Elvis. Rather than what's being played today. Rather than what's coming across the tube today. You see what I'm saying? I've used that to say, look how far we've come. Look how far we've come from a world that wouldn't even show his waist down on Ed Sullivan Show in 1955 to now where you can get anything without clothes in the world. On demand. Through the medium of sight, through the medium of sensuality. Two ways to change the nation. You change your morals and change your music.
Right.
Two ways to change the church. You change your morals and change your music.
That's right.
Anybody wonder why the church is all changing to this contemporary so-called praise music? 7-Eleven is what Brother Gene Mathias called it. Same 7 words 11 times. Amen. Has anybody wondered why that craze is in? I'll tell you why. There's no power in that mess.
That's right.
There's no God in that mess.
Right.
Amen. When a person comes into the house of God and they can be comfortable listening to the same thing that they heard on Saturday night in the bar, there's something vastly wrong with it.
That's right.
So if you want to change the church, you change it by its morals and its music. If you want to change the home, you do it the same way. You change it by its morals and its music. Amen. I'll tell you what's happening in America. We're overdosing. That's another message in the series. But we have overdosed our children on entertainment.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Might as well say amen or old
amen.
Me. We have entertained them to death in a home.
Right.
And you know why we do it? A lot of times, so they won't bother us. So we can do our thing. Well, they quiet me in there running that thing. Leave them alone. We do our thing in here. Amen. And then when they come down to the house of God and the old man of God gets up and preaches a rare back message, they look at him and say, hey, I don't want that. I want to be entertained. I want a puppet show. I want a concert. And all of a sudden, here comes some people to the pastor and saying, hey, we need to get some puppet shows for the children. What are you going to do for our children? And the sorry, low-down devils is what's wrong with their children. Hallelujah. Yes. So wake up, Daddy. The spirit wolf's at your door. And he ain't singing Amazing Grace. There's a massive frontal assault, but there's a malignant foundation attack too. The attack is on the foundation of the home. If you crumble the foundation, something to build is going to come down. Knock the foundation out, Brother Robert, the building is going to come down. It won't stand. Notice he said, they're what his watchmen are blind, they're all ignorant. I read John Gill. And John Gill draws a parallel between blind, ignorant watchmen that's mentioned here and the Pharisees that Jesus called blind guides. He said the reason they were blind and ignorant is because they were their own worst enemy. I said, that's good. In other words, what Isaiah is saying, you're your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
You're your problem.
Yeah.
That's tough, ain't it?
Yeah.
But that's what he's saying. You are your problem.
That's right.
Amen. He's saying, no, I'm not my problem. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
I'm my problem.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
The self, the flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. We're trying to live for God and live for the flesh. It won't work.
It
won't work. Paul said, I die daily.
Right.
Amen. And if he had to die daily, we need to die daily. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot live a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of life for God. You cannot be godly on Sunday and put on your nice clean linen clothes of righteousness. Amen. And then go home on Sunday night and get out your fleshly clothes and your worldly clothes. It will not work.
Right.
That's what's been tried. That's what's being attempted. There's a malignant foundation attack. Verse 10, verse 11. They cannot see the enemy coming. They're blind. Bible says that Satan has blinded the eyes of them. Now, it's talking about lost people.
Right.
But I believe to some effect that Satan can blind us too.
Right.
I believe that.
Sure.
I believe if we allow it to happen.
Right.
Amen. So what Isaiah was saying, he said, they're blind. They're ignorant. They can't see the enemy coming. You know what's blinded you? Dad, you know that you're blind. You know what's blinded you? Trying to live like hell would want you to live.
Right.
Trying to live like the devil wants you to live. Amen. Getting all this mess in your home and you, hey, it won't work. It won't work. I said, it will not work. They cannot see the enemy coming. Amen. Well, then they can't see the enemy or they can't stop the enemy from coming. Look what he said. They're all dumb dogs. They can't bark. Now, I got to wondering about this. Brother Hyde touched on it. But I got to wondering as to why Isaiah worded what he worded this way. First he said they're blind, they can't see them coming. And then he said they can't bark. And I scratched my head, I said, don't make sense. I mean, if he's blind, he can't see the enemy coming, what good would it do if he barked? Right? Pretty good assumption, right? Good old mule sense, right? But then the Holy Ghost nudged me and said, if that old dog will bark, that old wolf don't know he's blind. So the bottom line, hallelujah to God. The bottom line is that you need to bark. You need to bark. And bark and bark. And hey, I'll give you a good example. If you was walking through somebody's yard tonight and a big old, about 150 pound Rottweiler rose up, showed his teeth, started barking, would you hang around and check his eyes to see if he's blind? No, you'd be running. And you wouldn't be looking back either.
Right.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way the wolf is. You need to bark. Amen. Arm yourself with a 12-gauge shotgun in one hand and the King James Bible in the other and let both of them full blast and bark. Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
Massive. Or malignant foundation attacked. They can't see the enemy coming. They can't stop the enemy coming. Amen. Let me say that a dog that won't bark ain't worth a whole lot.
That's right.
But a daddy that won't bark ain't worth nothing.
Amen.
You ain't worth killing if you won't bark. You ain't worth killing if you don't bark.
Right.
Keep that wolf away from your young.
That's right.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah.
But they can't satisfy the enmity that they contain. Verse 11, verse 12. Verse 10, Isaiah tells us what the watchmen are not doing, but verse 11, he tells us why they're not doing what they should be doing. That tells us that the Word of God is inerrant. Because man never tells this on himself.
Right.
Amen, preacher.
Yep.
Somebody said a lie, go halfway around the world before the truth puts your shoes on. That's about right.
Yeah.
Amen. So this just shows us that the Word of God is inerrant.
Right.
But Isaiah lists two things, two undeniable, undisputable things that was causing them to have a problem with the wolf. Number one, they had an obsession with greed.
That's right.
Greed.
Right.
He said, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And maybe we've got dogs in here. I got a Boston Terrier. If I'd feed her 50 times a day, she'd go over on the 51st time at her bowl and stand there and look at me. That's what Isaiah meant. They'll just eat and eat. They're greedy. They, all they know is to eat. All they know is to feed themselves. Amen. Now I'm going to describe something, attempt to describe greed. Let's say we got a crack cocaine addict. And he's hooked. And that crack cocaine addict would sell everything he's got to get one more fix. He'd do anything, and I mean anything, to get one more hit. His whole life is about one more hit. He goes to bed wanting one more hit. He gets up wanting one more hit. There's nothing in his life that is not about one more hit of crack cocaine. You say, that's a pretty good description of a crack cocaine addict. Well, in doing that, I just described a greedy person. Because a man that's full of greed and a woman that's full of greed, but especially a man, that's all his life is about. One more dollar.
Right.
Do anything. Get one more buck.
Yeah.
One more deposit.
Right.
One more item.
Right.
One more necessity. At least I think it is. One more new car. One more new house. One more new furniture. Say amen, somebody. Hey, that's greed, but that is an addiction.
Right.
Now here's the downfall of all. But a daddy that's got greed will sacrifice his little children on the fire to get one more buck. We all know people like that. I've seen people like that. I've seen mothers like that. All for success. All for a job. All for a dollar. And they'll sacrifice their little young'uns to get it. And then the same hypocritical people, you'll see them down at the abortion clinic protesting abortion.
Right.
It's an obsession with greed.
Right. Right.
But it's an obsession with good times. He said they all looked their own way.
Uh-huh.
Back in the days of Egypt, when Israel was slaves in Egypt, Egypt had a lot of gods. They were a multiple god people. They had one god of pleasure named Ra, R-A-H. He said, what's that god? That was 4,000 years ago, preacher. Well, he's still alive.
Yes, he is.
We have renamed him. We now call him Hoorah.
That's right.
Hoorah! We don't have to go to church today.
Yeah.
Hoorah! We don't have to pay our tithes today.
Right.
Hoorah! We get to go to the beach today. Hoorah! We get to go to the mountains today.
Amen.
Hoorah! We're going to get us a new pastor. Don't preach as loud.
Right.
Hoorah! Hoorah! Hoorah!
Yeah.
We're all living on pleasure.
That's right.
President of the United States, I don't call him my president. He ain't mine. If I say my president, that means I can own him, but I don't own him. Don't want to own him.
Amen.
But he run on a ticket that was fashioned after FDR's campaign in 1944, I believe it was. 40 or 44. Amen. Y'all thought he was original in that. No. He copied FDR. Amen. But the point is, during the FDR's run for presidency in 1940s, there was a song that was real popular. And the song was entitled, Happy Days Are Here Again. And that's what got Barack Obama voted in. That's how obsessed this country is with happy days are here again. I can see those voters going to the polls. Happy days are here again. Brock's going to put a stake in every Everybody's kitchen. Amen. Come put a new car. Everybody's garage. You might as well say amen. I've heard that with my own ears.
Amen.
That's what's running America. Happy days. Hoorah! He's alive. Good times. Good times. Good times. And just pump up, grab all the gusto you can and state of intoxication.
Right.
A father will never deal with his problems about his children. I want to tell you something about pleasure. You hear me not, but pleasure is like a drug.
That's right.
It'll put you in a stupor.
Right.
It'll put you in a haze.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
And you, would you want a crack cocaine addict making decisions about your children? No. Why no? Then don't get hooked on pleasure.
Amen.
Don't get strung out on pleasure.
Right.
And try to make sensible decisions about your children. It won't work.
Right.
You'll start sacrificing your little kids on the fire for the God of Hoorah.
Right, preacher.
But then there's a third thing, final thing. There is a mental facilities affliction. I believe Satan attacking mentally.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to say up front that there's some people that have true mental problems.
Right. Right.
Wires go loose.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
Sure they do. I'm not preaching about those people. I'm preaching about people who is allowing it. Allowing Satan to attack your mind. Amen. Because he is. It's seeing a lapse of reality. Go back to that verse number 12 real quick. Verse number 12. He said, come ye, say they, I will fetch the wine, and we will ourselves fill ourselves with strong drink. I want you to notice something with him. Holy Ghost showed me this plain as day. I want you to notice the pronoun gender changes. It was the cloud that said, come ye, say they. Isn't it always they said?
Yeah.
I never have met they.
Right.
But I heard them.
Yeah.
Preacher, they said.
Yeah.
I never have met they.
Right.
But I've heard them. But I never have heard them. I've heard them through other people. Amen.
Right.
They said. I had a man one time when I passed my first church, and I thought everybody loved preachers.
Yeah.
And he said, preacher, I don't know why none of them like you. I love you.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, he hated my guts. The rest of them thought pretty well of me.
Right. Right.
All I'm saying is, I don't know who they is, but that's what he's saying. He said, come ye, say they. Come over here, join us. Come over here, get like us. Come over here to the lake. Come over here to the beach. Come over here and get half naked. Come over here and watch the porn show. Come over here. Come ye, say they. Now look what happened to him. Next pronoun is I. He heard. He listened. Because it's I will. They didn't even have to go get the wine. He went and got the wine. Is that not what's happened to America? Is that not what happened to the homes? They say, oh, look, a few beers won't hurt you. Yeah. That's probably what said this man. Oh, a little wine won't hurt you. Okay, I'll go get me some.
Yeah.
I will go get the wine. But notice what he did with the wine. We will fill ourselves.
Yeah.
That was an idiot.
Right. Yeah.
He went and bought wine so they could have some too.
Right.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? The pronoun changed. Then notice the next pronoun is we. It said, come ye, say they. Then he said, I'll go get the wine. And now it's we. He's one of them.
Right.
He's joined the crowd. And right there is what's wrong with at home.
Right.
That's it. It's the pressure and compromise. I'm not going to lie to you tonight. There's more pressure on you as a dad right now tonight than there's ever been on any dad in this world. It's on. Brothers, it's on. It ain't coming. It ain't around the corner. It's here. Amen. It's seen a lapse of reality. It's seen a lapse of reason. He said, I'll fetch wine and we'll fill ourselves a strong drink. But then finally it's seen a lapse of repentance. He never repented of it. How do you know, preacher? Because look what he said. And tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. In other words, now that he's over there with them, he's got control of not only the day, but he thinks he's got control of tomorrow. And he thinks tomorrow will give him more than the day gave him. That sounds like a man on the way to hell. That's what it sounds like. I can control it now. That's what's happened to our churches. That's what's happened to our homes. That's exactly dead. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do in your home. He wants you to get to the point where you think you can control it. Where you think you've got it all under wraps. And then it's over. It ain't starting. It's over when you think that. Because he's got control. It's come ye save they. Get over here with us. You'll be all right. You don't have to go down there to that old church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Let's go out to the park somewhere. God's out there. That's the new spiritism, by the way.
Right.
Worship God. God's in everything, so worship anything, and you're worshiping God. That's a damnable doctrine.
Amen.
And I saw it on a sign of a Baptist church in Canapolis last week. Then we wonder why our youngins are in such a mess. It's not their fault. They're products of what we put in front of them.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother Hyde.